Welcome to Breakthrough Barriers with Damali. I'm your host, Damali Peterman. On this podcast, we invite you to share a conflict that you need help navigating, and I, along with a guest co-host, will share what we would do in that situation to help you reach your breakthrough. Welcome to the show. On today's episode, I am thrilled to have Randy Winder in the studio. Randy, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Damali.
It is such an honor to have you here. I want everyone to know how I had the pleasure of meeting you. And it was so random and such a wonderful, serendipitous occasion. We were celebrating the birthday of a mutual friend of ours, Lisa. And Randy was sitting at one of the high top tables. And I went over and we started talking. And I think we talked to each other the entire party, right?
Yes, we did.
And that was kind of all she wrote. You were embarking on some fun, exciting new things. Likewise on my end. And I ended up saying, you know, I'm in a book club. Let's join it together. And since then, we've done so many things. We've celebrated some milestone birthdays. And we've spent so much time together that I consider you to be one of my dearest friends.
Thank you, Damali. I consider you also one of my dearest friends and feel so fortunate that we met at that party. And, you know, sometimes you just meet somebody and it's right. You feel the connection, and that's what I felt with you right away.
Oh, thank you so much. Why don't you tell our listeners more about yourself?
Sure. So I am on my career number three. I started out as an attorney and I stopped working when I had kids. And then I went back as a real estate broker. And I did that until a few years ago. And when I decided to go back to school, and I'm now getting my master's in social work at Fordham, which I love. And I have two kids. They're 20 and 16. I live in New York City. And I'm very happy to be here today.
This is awesome. And I'm so impressed. I love that you said you're on your third career. And what I see that is as just an amazing journey that is taking you to just wonderful places. So from the law to real estate to social work, you've just, I mean, I can just see you excelling in all of those paths. And, you know, I want to be here for the fourth career.
Maybe I'll stop here.
So for those of you who are tuning in for the first time, you can simply call in our hotline number and leave a message. And you can ask any question that you're contemplating. It doesn't have to be a conflict. It could be anything that's going on for you and you're not quite sure how to navigate it. Or it can be an actual conflict that you really want to hear from someone who's not invested in the outcome. With a co-host on the air for the first time, we will play the message and give you some feedback as to what we would do if we were in that situation. So, Randy, what do you think? Should we play the first message?
Let's go ahead.
Let's do it.
You have one message.
I'm hearing the topic about mental health a lot today. You're hearing about athletes who are coming out and saying that they're having challenges. You're hearing actors and actresses who are talking about it as well. And quite frankly, I'm not really clear about what it all means. And so if you can speak a little bit about the issue or the topic of mental health, what it is, what it means to the average person or to any person for that matter, and what type of steps we can take to make sure that we're doing all the right things that allow us to also have good mental health. Thank you.
I think that's a really interesting question, and you're right. There's so much publicity now around mental health, and we're hearing these celebrities come out and talk about mental health and mental illness. And for so long, there was so much stigma around mental illness, and nobody would talk about if they were mentally ill, if they had a family member who was mentally ill. They were too ashamed and embarrassed. And that only made it worse. And now we're being more open and talking about it. Not that the stigma is gone, because it's still there, unfortunately, but we're starting to destigmatize mental illness. And as a future social worker, that makes me so happy, because until it's destigmatized, it's going to be very hard to help people. So what I think mental health is that your life is in balance. You feel like when you have stresses, which everybody is going to have, you are able to cope with those stresses in a positive way. And for people who are mentally ill, maybe their stresses are overwhelming for them. So you asked what we can do to maintain our mental health. And what I would say is self-care is really important. Again, like I said, we are all going to have stresses in our life, but we have to find ways to cope with that stress. And whatever you do that makes you feel good, if it's being with your friends, if it's going for a walk outside, if it's watching a funny movie, you need to take care of yourself. We all need to do that. And if you are feeling like the stresses are getting to be too much for you, or there can be very much more serious things, like you're hearing maybe voices in your head that other people don't hear, much more serious things, that's when you need to see a professional. And if you're feeling overwhelmed, it's very important to go see a professional therapist, because it's not something that a friend can just help you with if you are experiencing mental illness. And in terms of finding a therapist, I think the best thing to do is, if you can get a recommendation, you know, you can also do a search on the internet if you don't know anybody who can help you, who's gone to a therapist. But the most important thing in finding a therapist is that you feel a connection, because studies show that the most important thing in getting therapy is the therapeutic alliance. So you need to feel a connection with your therapist. So, if you're feeling like life is overwhelming, you need to start calling therapists and talk to people and see who you feel that you connect with.
What great insight, Randy. And I love everything that you said. You dropped so many gems just now. And just starting first with how mental illness has this stigma associated with it. And just the fact that we're having this conversation right now on the air and that the caller called it in makes me so happy, because that's how you continue to destigmatize it, by having conversations and engaging others in the dialogue. And so I'm so happy that you asked the question, caller. I think too, I love how you kind of described what mental health is and what mental healthiness is, and then showed how mental illness could be just someone feeling overwhelmed with dealing with certain of life stresses. It's so important to take your temperature check. And sometimes we need to hear from others, because sometimes things that are going on may feel one way for us, but to the outward world, they could be seeing something that we're not seeing. And so one of the things that I want to add to that, and clearly this isn't really my field, but because I deal with a lot of conflict resolution, and as a mediator, I sometimes encounter people who have various types of cognitive and other situations. I think for me, it's really key to kind of think of, one, being open to having conversations, being open to figuring out if there's something that's going on or that feels off. And maybe the first step is talking to someone that you know, finding out if they have someone they recommend for you to talk to, because most people who aren't therapists or social workers aren't equipped to kind of handle some of the heavier topics with respect to mental health. I recently had a friend from law school who committed suicide, and it was something that no one saw coming. And there's a Facebook group that we were all kind of talking about it and kind of saying, like, we wish he would have reached out. Or did we miss something? I remember in law school, he was so enigmatic and wonderful, and he always was innovating different things, Randy. And there was one time where he had this campaign, and it was kind of embracing black skin and brownness. And he selected, like, I don't know how many of us to do it, but it was very similar to this in the sense that there was, like, he had a video, a camera, and he was like, I want you to choose something and say the color of my skin is, and say it was like caramel macchiato, and then say what that meant to you. And I thought that was such a great thing to do, especially on a law school campus when you're so stressed out and focusing on school and work. And he kind of took us out of that for a moment to kind of embrace ourselves. And I thought that was amazing. And so fast forward to, like, hearing that he died by suicide, and what that made me think of was, you know, were there ways that I could have helped him? And others were kind of having the same conversation. And so I think openness and open-mindedness goes, you know, on all sides, not for the person who's feeling overwhelmed, and also people who are in that person's circle, just kind of thinking of ways that we can just support each other.
You're right. That's so important. And reaching out to your friends. And if you see somebody who's struggling, just asking if they need help, and maybe encouraging them to get the help that they need. And I'm very sorry about your law school classmate. He sounds like he was a wonderful person, but if you, and it sounds like he wasn't leaving clues, but if somebody is talking about suicide or not wanting to be alive, that's something that friends need to take seriously and need to really help that person get professional help, because somebody like that definitely needs professional help.
Absolutely. And, you know, for a caller, you ask so many wonderful questions, trying to kind of understand and demystify mental health and thinking about what steps we can take as individuals to have good mental health. And I love that you said, Randy, that, you know, do what you enjoy, do what you love, whether that's something physical like running or exercising or something intellectually stimulating like reading or entertaining like watching a movie. Find what you enjoy and do it. And I'll add to that, so many studies have shown that meditation can be so great for
that's
your
a
brain.
Good point.
Right?
Yes, yes.
Right? And so meditation is one of those things that for me, I found it hard to do the first time. On my own, I just didn't have the discipline, but having a guided meditation and having someone kind of talk me through it, I could do it. And I just, when I meditate, and I could probably do like 5 or 10 minutes tops, Randy, I'm trying to move up to what people say you should do, which is, I think, on average, 20 minutes twice a day, which seems like a lot of time. But if you think about it as exercise for your brain, like you wouldn't go to the gym for like 10 minutes and then just leave, right? It takes you probably that long to get to the gym because, you know, to kind of put your stuff in the locker and then go to the machine. But if you think about meditation as exercise for your brain, then you want to kind of devote a certain amount of time to it and perhaps on a semi, if not regular, basis.
Yes, yes, yes. You're right. But meditation has been shown to really be helpful. And at least even if you can't get that in that 40 minutes, if you're doing 5 or 10 minutes, you're doing something. It's better than nothing.
Yeah. One day I saw someone who was on the train and I thought he was sleeping. And I was, you know, the train in New York City, you're like kind of packed like sardines in there. And so I just thought he was sleeping and I was, I think, standing in front of him. And then all of a sudden his eyes popped open and I think I was a little bit startled and he goes, "Oh, I'm sorry. I was just meditating." And I was like, "That's awesome.
That's
like,
impressive."
Yeah. Like meditating on the train. I love that. Hopefully we can add a listening to this podcast on your commute on the train. But thank you so much, caller, for asking that question. A really wonderful question. Thinking about mental health, we need to continue conversations like this because they're so important
Definitely.
To have. And we need to find more ways to embrace people, to talk about these things and continue to destigmatize mental health, mental illness, and the like, because we have to work together and use our support networks and then realize when our support networks may not be enough or we need to seek the help of a professional. How about we go to the next message?
Okay, let's do that.
You have one message.
Hello, Damali. I'm calling because I have a middle school daughter that I'm raising, and she goes through different issues at school, primarily around other girls being mean, either to her directly or to each other, you know, losing some of her friends to more popular girls, or just having girls reveal things that she shared with them in confidence about perhaps boys she has a crush on. So I was wondering if you had some advice to share on how these young preteen girls can deal with these conflicts and how they could be kinder and nicer to each other, how she could be an example for her peers and not go down to their level. Thank you. Bye.
I think that starting with, it sounds like she's got a mom who's really helping her. So I think she's already on the right path, and a mom who's asking the right questions and who wants to help her stay above the meanness and to keep being kind despite what the other girls are doing, and to realize that popularity is short term and not the most important thing. So I applaud you for thinking about it and for teaching your daughter the right values. And I think that it would be great for you to sit down with her and come up with ideas together on how she can deal with this, because I think if she feels empowered to think of her own ideas, that will help her feel stronger. Some things that maybe you could guide her toward are reaching out to the nicer girls and forming a bond with the nice girls, and so that they can stick together so that they don't feel tormented or bullied by the mean girls because I think if they have each other, that makes such a huge difference. And perhaps reaching out to the school. I don't know if she might feel comfortable doing that, if she has a teacher or somebody that she might feel comfortable talking to, but perhaps the school could also get involved and just in a gentle way, just have maybe little discussion groups about how important it is to be nice to each other and how we can help each other. And how the most important thing is not to be popular. It would be great if the school would also help you in that endeavor to teach your daughter and the other girls the right values.
Absolutely. And I agree. Thank you, Mom, for calling in, because I know that's something that's probably also weighing on you as a mom who wants to help her daughter. And so I agree with Randy. She's really lucky to have you. I love that you said collaborating with her daughter to problem solve together, because that's really key. And to your point, having the daughter do that would help her to be engaged and also have buy-in in the process. And so sometimes I feel like as parents, it's easy to say, do this, and kind of like want the kid to go out and just kind of do it. But when you really engage them in the problem solving process, I think that they, one, learn how to handle it when you're not there.
Exactly.
Right?
Yes.
And two, they have buy-in because maybe they know a little bit more about the situation than they've shared with you. And so they can really think about how to navigate it. You know, when these types of things happen, they can be so isolating. Right. There's so many things going on for preteens. There's so much going on in their minds, their bodies. They're still developing in so many different ways. And it's hard. It could be challenging to find the right group, the right friend circle. And so you kind of have to have some trust and some faith and go out there. And one of the cases that I mediated involved young girls, and they had ended up having a situation and a fight because of something that started as a miscommunication, but it had accelerated and escalated and had just become something that was blown out of proportion, all because of the first part of it wasn't addressed. And so what I'm trying to say with that is, you know, kind of try to figure out what's going on. Was there something that started it? It could just be girls just being girls and girls just being mean. But was there something that started it that was misconstrued? Is there a way to communicate? You said you wanted your daughter to be a role model for her peer group and to rise above it. And, you know, Michelle Obama's famous words were, when they go low, we go high. Mm-hmm. But what does that mean? How do you go high? Right. You know, there used to be a saying, an eye for an eye. Remember that one, Randy?
Yes.
And so, you know, to take kind of those two things into consideration, going high when folks are going low and not going, having that eye for an eye mentality, I think communication is so key, and kind of leading by example, as you want your daughter to do, really involves her, one, doing what Randy said, thinking about forming alliances with nice girls who aren't kind of a part of the problem. And two, thinking of ways to be a part of the solution instead of thinking about what they don't have in common, like where they diverge. What do they have in common? I found that a lot of alliances are formed based on commonalities, right? And sometimes based on differences, too.
Mm-hmm. That's a great point. Yes. And to also... They're teaching kids now a lot about when you see something to stop it, to step in. And I know they talk about it more with older kids. If you see kids maybe doing drugs or drinking, to step in and say something. But I think that it's also something that would be really good to do for the younger kids, to it may be out of their comfort zone, but to when other girls are being mean, to step in and to say that's really not the way that we should be behaving.
I agree. And I'll infuse a little bit of humor, if I may, in this. I have a good friend, and she has a really young kid, and some kids were teasing him at school, and he came home really upset and unhappy. And she tried different things before she spoke to me. And the last thing she said to him was, "Damali, I just told him, tell them that they better leave him alone because your mom's crazy." And I thought, huh, how did that work out? She said he didn't come home complaining anymore about the situation. I said, well, I need to probably add that to my list of things to tell my kids. But the reason that I put that out there is that sometimes humor can help diffuse a situation. And I don't mean making fun of other people. I don't think that's the right way to handle it. But I know for myself, sometimes, you know, I can try to infuse a little bit of humor to lighten the mood a little bit. And that sometimes works, because when there's a conflict, people aren't their best selves, and their ability to use their executive function to really come to a good decision that's well reasoned is temporarily suspended. And you kind of go back to that, you know, survival mode of fight, flight, or freeze. And, you know, for some people, especially preteens, that could just be the fight mode. And I'm not talking about physical altercations per se. I'm talking about like being either offensive or defensive.
Yes, that is a good point, that when people are in conflict, you're right, they're not thinking so clearly. And I think humor is a great idea.
Yeah, humor works. And then, you know, sometimes when things escalate so quickly, think about how fast things happen. Something that was small has then been escalated, and there's an audience. Maybe you're in the classroom or cafeteria or hallway. And so I would just empower your daughter with some tools to de-escalate, to slow things down. And you can do that by, you know, one of the things that I teach is to kind of listen actively and to like empower someone by validating how they feel and kind of thinking about like, how can I show them that I understand where they're coming from, even if I don't agree. And so listening, summarizing what they're saying, reflecting. And then if you can do this is a lot to put on a preteen or a teenager, you know, just kind of say, I could see you're really upset right now. I don't know what set you off, but, you know, I want to talk to you. If that's an option, clearly we don't know the situation, the circumstances, but some of the things that you brought up were losing friends to more popular girls, or having friends share things that, you know, someone shared in confidence, perhaps about boys. And so these things are kind of common things that happen in middle school.
Yes, and I love that you're bringing mediation skills to the preteens that will arm them for life.
It's true. Like, these are things that they could definitely benefit from. And so active listening is something that has to be practiced, just like any, I don't know if your daughter is involved in any sports or athletics or gymnastics, et cetera, but, you know, it's something that you have to practice to continue to be good at, because it's not always natural to listen without thinking about your next point or thinking about how you're going to defend what you're saying or how you're going to attack what the person is saying. Active listening really requires you to kind of listen without any filters on and to kind of take in what a person is saying, and then to, you know, kind of summarize what they're saying aloud so they hear their words back at them. So they're kind of hearing that you understand, instead of you just saying, yeah, I get it, I understand.
Yes, and the other thing that we need to remember is that their brains are not fully developed.
True.
So they do react more impetuously, probably, than an adult would. And by slowing things down, by emphasizing the act of listening, maybe you can help them to not react so quickly.
It's so true. So let's arm your daughter with being a diplomat and engaging and embracing some of that diplomacy. And let us know how it works. We've given you so many different ideas to think of. I know it's not easy, and there's no sort of immediate fix to the situation. There are so many things going on. And one of the things that I like to think about is, what can we control? There's so many things going on that we cannot control. And so what your daughter can control, of course, is herself, what she says, what she does. And hopefully that will, if she's doing that and applying some of these ideas that we're discussing, hopefully that'll rub off on others. Hopefully that'll help her deal with situations where she's feeling that people are being mean to her, and she'll continue to grow. You know, middle school, high school, these things are all temporary.
Yes. Yeah. It's very hard to know that when you're a child, but yes, you can help your daughter know these things. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So call us back and let us know how she's doing. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to hear how things are going. And we have more information. You know, these are just kind of the tip of the iceberg as far as things that you can do. But we'd probably need to know a little bit more about her personality. It's hard to know whether she is an introvert or ambivert or extrovert, or, you know, kind of what her style is, because these things too can be customized. These tips and techniques could be customized to fit her personality as well. So I like to thank our callers for calling in today. What wonderful questions, right, Randy?
Yes, they were really interesting questions. Yes.
Yeah, great questions that can, the answers to which can probably, you know, help a lot of people as they're contemplating similar situations. I'd like to thank all of our listeners for tuning in. And Randy, thank you so much for being here in the studio today.
Thank you for asking me to be here. It's been a pleasure.
Oh, so fun. I always get to this part of the show and I'm like, oh, we should just go for another one. I am your host, Damali Peterman, and this is Breakthrough Barriers with Damali. Continue to break through and have a wonderful day. Do you have any barriers that we can help you break through? If so, you can leave a brief message at 646-363-6322. Or on our interactive blog at www.breakthroughadr.com. Please follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn at the @BREAKTHROUGH, AAD R. I'm your host, Damali Peterman, and this is Breakthrough Barriers with Damali. Although I am a lawyer, mediator, and an educator, and many of my co-hosts will represent various professions, we want to be clear that we are not providing legal advice, counseling, or suggestions. Our goal is to provide a roadmap for conflict resolution to generate future conflict resolvers. Continue to break through and have a wonderful day.